Once again, I am joined by 19th District Senator Jeff Wilson. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Kyle. Glad to be here today.
We were talking just off the air a little bit that the legislative session is going kind of how it usually does. It starts off with a lot of pomp and circumstance, these kind of the bigger kind of key bills that you know are going to get some sort of discussion. They kind of came and they were released early. They got a lot of attention. Right now, we're in kind of a weird side where we're getting a lot of the lighter topics coming up. The state dinosaur, the state nickname, and some of those, but still bills that would change things within the state, but we're in that kind of lull before the real action really starts to hit off and those bigger bills start to come up, and then the budget really becomes the prime focus.
Absolutely, Kyle. And, you know, it's kind of the calm between the storms, not the storm, but plural, as in storms, as we finish up final bills that can be heard. These are bills that are necessary to implement the budget, whereas there was a strict cutoff date on February 17th last week. This week, we still hear some bills that, like I say, have that implication. I have a couple of bills that do that, and the most important bill is by far for this process is my Senate Bill 5740, which deals with catalytic converters. So that has a cost to it for the budget based on to help develop tracking systems and fund local police agencies to, I guess, to be much more aggressive when it comes to those that would like to help themselves to other people's catalytic converters. So that's a very important bill. And then
we're looking at the catalytic converter bill, what kind of funding as far as the budget is needed? Is that just additional funding for oversight for scrapyards and things, or where does the funding come in?
Actually, I have a total of 3 funding requirements for the catalytic converter. One is tied to the bill specifically. The other ones are what you would call budget or budget proviso requests. But the main one is about $1 million, and that attaches to my bill that says, look, if you're not licensed, a scrap metal dealer, an auto wrecker, or something that deals in commercial or private metal property, you got to have a license, and if you do, you have to display that. And really, Kyle, what it means is if you were to go to a local shopping center and somebody is buying catalytic converters out of the back of their pickup truck, well, that may be legal, but they're going to have that license and display it. And if they don't, there is a serious penalty for that. And this is what a lot of this budget or this money in this bill goes to do. It gives local police officers the additional funding and grant funding to go out and actually either do sting operations, or it will allow them to have more of a presence when confronting those. Because currently, right now, I don't know if it's much illegal to sell a catalytic converter from the back of your car into the back of somebody else's truck. We've got to clear that gray area up and only make it so that the legitimate and licensed dealers can buy and sell these things, not freely without any catches. So that's where that money will go. It'll shore up and really puts law enforcement hopefully back in the driver's seat to slow this. It's an epidemic crime still.
And that's one of those things. If you are, hey, I need a catalytic converter, and you just happen to roll into a parking lot of some big box store, and there's somebody selling catalytic converters in the back of their 1983 Chevy Love or something, if that doesn't raise some concerns from you, you're gonna have a bad time. In that type of situation, there's a chance that your missing catalytic converter is in that pile for repurchase.
Absolutely, and you know, thank you for mentioning the wonderful 1983 Chevrolet Love. That truck is still famous to me. But moving along the catalytic converter, and this is a very serious thing. We are still experiencing probably record-breaking crime levels as we get the data in from 2022. 2021 Of course, we were number one in the United States of America for catalytic converter theft. And this is a crippling theft to hardworking people that really, truly rely and depend upon their transportation for their everyday lives. It's a really lousy act to go steal, and it's even a more lousy act when you steal somebody's catalytic converter, Kyle. So this, I'm hoping with fingers crossed, my catalytic converter bill is the only catalytic converter bill in legislation this year between the House and the Senate. I'm proud of that, yet we've still got a long uphill battle to get that bill pushed through to get to the floor. Now we're in the money phase.
When we're looking at the bills so far and the House actually being back being in person and everything, how have the discussions gone, do you feel, in these bills, both in committee, with the in-person committees and the in-person kind of floor voting and discussions? Do you feel that it's going effectively and productively this year?
Well, it is going as productive as it can be. It can always be more effective. Now, remember, Kyle, I am a part of the minority here in Olympia, and that always essentially makes it, I would say, more challenging to get things workable through to a finish line. I am ranking member of state government and elections, and as that member, I can tell you, as we've wrapped up that committee, that 29 Democratic bills were executed out of the committee compared to only 9 Republicans. So 29, so roughly 70% of the bills even got a chance to get out of committee were from the other side of the aisle. So it's very heavy-handed. When you're in the majority, not only do you rule, you simply, your bills move forward. And Kyle, I'd like to note to your listeners, it's not that both sides don't have a lot of bills and both sides don't have a lot of good bills, because they do. What matters is whose bill gets to be heard and whose gets to get a red light or a green light. And I tell you, a 70% in favor of the other side is not as balanced as I'd like it to be. I'd really like it to get closer to, I think, 50-50. Always my favorite fairness.
It makes sense. I mean, it's rarely ever 50-50, and even if it is, it's rarely that case. There's always the discussion from one side versus the other. It's the bigger issue is whoever is in the majority, are they willing to hear some of the bills that maybe not be coming from some of their members and open up to new opportunities? I think that's the key to a productive government.
Well, Kyle, good bills, now very carefully here, good bills come from both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was one bill that mattered a lot. There were a couple bills, actually, that should have been heard, in my opinion, that no matter what, they weren't going to hear them. And one of them was Senate Bill 5063, and that is emergency power reform. In fact, the name of that bill is the Balanced Act. And yet that bill could never get a hearing. And what that means is, the same with the House this year, which means is Olympia will not in any way be talking about emergency power bills in committees. It is taboo, it is not allowed, and none of them were heard. And that's a little disappointing because, regardless of who our governor is or is going to be, we need proper gubernatorial balancing of powers. When we get into emergencies, we learned a lot from the COVID, Kyle. Some good, some bad, but ultimately emergency reform of Governor Powers is off limits this year. And that's disappointing. We had one bill and it couldn't even get discussed.
It is unfortunate. I mean, it's not surprising based on just everything that's happened and the discussions leading up to it, but it is unfortunate it doesn't even come up for discussion. Just to let it kind of come up for discussion, find out where people sit. If that's still something that legislators say, you know what, no, this isn't right now, then that's fine. But at least give that opportunity to have that discussion.
Well, especially on the topic, Kyle, when you're talking about emergencies, the best thing you do at any time is plan for the next emergency. And this is what these bill, these reform bills do. They're not going back and digesting old news on the COVID and what happened for those nearly 3 years, but it's setting the stage for maybe a next time. And I think that that's good government business, is to be forward thinking. And I just had to express that I will not quit trying to do that, because it makes sense for the tomorrows that haven't came here yet.
Mm-hmm. You've got to keep working. So, I mean, the next bills and the discussion over the next week before we get into those budget provisos and things, you've had a number of bills that have gone on to second readings and moved into committees. When we're looking at bills that are looking to come out of those committees and actually get that opportunity to get the discussion, what kind of ratio are we looking at? There's some of these bills have been put out in the past years and haven't got through, adjusted, brought back. What are we looking at for your slate of bills? How many of them do you feel that are actually going to come forward?
Well, I'm hoping this year to the actual floor, which is the vote truthy of the people's representatives, I'm hoping for about 7 to 10 bills. Now, they range. They're in from all sizes and shapes, but I do have a total of 23 bills that I have put out, and I've co-sponsored over 79 other bills. So I've been very busy with bills, but with my primary bills, I'm hoping for that big number of 10. I did pass one of my bills just a few days ago this week, and surprisingly, Kyle, I took a lot of heat for that bill. The bill that passed unanimously was the bill that legitimized and legalized our state nickname. And I did receive quite a bit of criticism from those that thought that what we were doing was wasting our time, and certainly you've got other bills to work on, and why is the state nickname so important? And you know, Kyle, it's not fun to be in a defensive manner, but quite frankly, the legislature had tried this once before. I simply picked up the ball and ran with it across the finish line. I didn't think it was that silly, and I want your listeners to know, absolutely, the Evergreen State nickname, well, okay, it's legitimate now. And I do realize we have our much more priority-type bills, and I can assure your listeners I'm all behind those. But what we do up here in Olympia, sometimes we do have a fun bill. Sometimes we do have a lighthearted bill. It's not always about the negative aspects of our society. We still have other business that we need to conduct here on behalf of our districts.
That is one of those things, like we've said before, just kind of how the sausage is made, that there are so many bills that come up that, are they drastically changing people's lives? No. But are they things that need to be done, whether it's just an update on some sort of program or something like this, a state dinosaur, a state name, a state insert thing here? These are things that do come up and get that conversation. And sometimes you want to have the lighter bills. If it was all just doom and gloom and arguments, nothing would get done.
Well, Kyle, well said. I practice what you just preached. I will continue to. I have quite a few bills that are incredibly important to all of us in the 19th District, and that ranges from biosolids all the way to firearm transfers to museums and roadside safety measures, freight, railroad infrastructure, vehicle charging equipment. You don't have enough time on the radio this morning to cover all my bills. I can assure you the 19th District is working very, very hard with productive bills that matter to a lot of everybody, put it that way.
The good news is the 105-day legislative session is still going on into April, and we'll keep talking to you, getting updates on bills that are moving forward, bills that might not be moving forward this year, but could come back next year, and more as the session moves forward. But 19th District Senator Jeff Wilson, always a pleasure to talk to you, and thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much. Look forward to our next time.